You're listening to Inkstuds, and my guest this week is Blaise Larme. His latest work is part of the 2D Cloud Winter Collection, which is up on the old Kickstarters, and it is an anthology called Mirror Mirror, a collection of, I'm totally going to like terribly describe it, but it's excellent, of kind of art meets comics catalog, I guess, like is like contemporary comics art catalog, as I've seen, especially as conceptual as I've seen in kind of general comic milieu. So it's kind of a pleasant surprise for me seeing this book, because it really is a lot different than a lot of other people talk about art comics, because when people say art comics, folks just go straight to Fort Thunder or, you know, post-panterism or stuff, and this is a lot different than that. This is a lot more conceptual, and not riding the same wave. So I really appreciate that as well. Blaise's work can be found in the Alt Comics series, also from 2D Cloud. That's the series of interviews on very nice aristograph paper. His most recent solo book is Three Books, which came out year before last. Or was it last year? Three books.
Last year.
A very provocative collection of three different works, exploring. Well, we'll get into it later on. How you doing, Blaise?
I'm good.
Or Blaise, look at me. I'm a terrible person. I mispronounce everything. Now, one of the things I was thinking about before jumping into Mirror Mirror is kind of the lead up for it, and the way, because like you have, I don't know how many tumblers you have.
How many what I have?
Tumblers.
Oh.
But one of the ones I was thinking about was the Alt Comics tumbler you were doing, or I think you're still doing, as well as, and I'm presuming it was you, that put up a Best American Comics PDF torrent a couple of years ago. And I feel like these are kind of precursors to what you're doing with Mirror Mirror, in a way. Does that make sense? Am I way off base?
Well, I mean, I don't know. They fit to a timeline. You mean in the sense of, like, I'm doing, like, an editorial kind of curating thing, like I'm assembling a book?
Yeah, like...
First, in a gray market kind of way, and now in a more mainstream
It's definitely like editorial, curatorial vision of trying to put forward a certain idea through a collected assortment of works.
I don't know. I think
well, does Mirror Mirror does that kind of live in its own world then?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Mirror Mirror, you know, creates a sort of, I don't know, it's like the perfect title, and it was Rain's idea.
What was the idea that he brought to you then?
Just the title, Mirror Mirror. It's you know, it's like a closed, you know, folded, you know, it creates its own space. If that makes sense, if you have two mirrors that are facing each other, and that's all that exists, like two mirrors.
So how does that kind of inform the contents of the book?
Well, I guess like this need for a comparison is sort of the weight's taken off. Like, it doesn't need any forebearers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not trying to be the new something, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It just defines a self-defined, you know, Hall of Mirrors. I guess that's an image we can... We're taking this one mirror to one mirror kind of thing from, you know, it's its own, I don't know, it kind of follows with 2D Cloud as the sort of self-defining, you know, I don't know, some way of, a third way, a way out of, like, competition, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, with a larger horizon kind of being the focus. And, like, kind of neglecting more immediate details. And also doing things really, inefficiently. Like, a sort of commitment to just taking time and just keep running in a sort of intuitive way, I guess. But
well, let's talk about the folks in it, like the particular choice in how do these artists represent that? Like, what are the things you're looking for in the work that you got from them? Was it just open? Do you have like X amount of pages? You know, like, what's that communication you're having with the artists, and how do you choose these as your artists?
Yeah, I found out, like, in presenting this book, like, doing the promoting it, I guess, it's sort of like the artists, that's the first information you should have about the book. Like, the title, Mirror Mirror, which says nothing in the perfect way, like, that everyone tries to do, but only advertising and, like, conceptual art actually pulls it off.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just have this vehicle, and then you have this thing, and yeah, mirror, mirror, and then the artist. So there's new. I don't know if that's... There's Siok. You know. Caroline Hennessy. And these are names, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then originally the book was just going to be Leslie Weibler and Nicholas Verstraeten. And I might be butchering that last name, I'm not sure.
Verstraeten?
Yeah, there's like an A-E-T-E-N thing going on. I don't know if there's any like umlauts over anything. I don't know, just like, I want this, you know what I mean? It's like this thing, it's like if you want... You know, if you have the energy to invest into, you know, if you open up this book, I don't know, it's a weird thing, like, I don't know, I have, like, I remember a lot of white books, or that being a thing, like, I'm browsing stacks of books, and there are these, you know, like, really nicely bound, maybe just cloth books, just, like, blanks, you know, and they don't say anything, and more than half the time they're awful, you know, just because it's like a common format.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once in a million times, it's like, because there's always this promise of this perfect, like, it could be the most perfect thing in there, you know, but, you know, it's also just like, I don't know, it's weird, it's, because it's so open, it's like this spam kind of haven.
Well,
you know, it's like an offshore kind of site. I don't know, you know, for, I don't know, yeah. Sorry.
It seems like you're not quite resolved with it. Like, you're wanting to promote the book, because you have the Kickstarter, and this is one of the big spotlight books of the Kickstarter. really high production quality, high production values. A lot of artists that aren't necessarily immediate names. There's a couple familiar names. As I was saying before we started, I've been woefully ignorant, unfortunately, in new comic stuff of recent. But why should folks want to check out this book? Why should I jump on this Kickstarter? Like, what is this book within the context of comics? What is it doing?
I don't know. I mean, the answering to that question is, like, the fact of itself.
I don't know if that's an answer.
I don't know. It's not for me, I guess. It's not for me to say. Or this, you know, I can't say it in this moment. I feel I can say it, just not in this moment.
Why?
Because it's like the specific context that we're in. Like, I just don't know what your position is. I don't know you that well.
But why should that matter?
Because that's the whole context of what my answer would be. You know what I mean?
But this is like, this is the context of the answer is we're talking about the book, you're promoting the book, I'm asking questions about it, and then I'm going to put it up, the conversation we're having on the internet doesn't get edited. So like, how does who I am change the answer or having an answer? I don't know. It's, I don't know if it's making sense to me.
Wait, what's the question again?
Why should folks check out this book? Why are we pushing it
okay.
by the Kickstarter?
Well, see, that's the okay. That's the thing about the space that I think Mirror Mirror creates, where it's this. There's a word for it. It's like. It's like when a word defines itself, and so it has. You know what I mean? It's like this blank, like. It's, I don't know, there's a scene of a movie where this guy tries to remember this word, and then he remembers it, Zero Dark Thirty. Have you seen that?
No.
He tries to remember what this word is called, because that's how he's describing the situation in Iraq, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Afghanistan, I mean. I don't know.
So it's something you're not quite there with.
No, it's just it's the space. It's this space that defines itself, and it requires you to orient yourself, you know, to it. It requires this sort of passage through it. You know, I mean, it doesn't lend itself to the sort of like a narrative of words about this product. You know, it's more of a image based, you know, based on our like meticulous presentations of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's presented as this holy thing. It's not, you know what I mean? It's like writing a blurb for like the Bible or something. If that makes sense.
So if this
just
is like,
yeah, that's all. Just to be treated with a similar sort of, you know, if we could use that word Bible at a, you know, characteristic
like
way.
Like you're saying, it's a sacred text?
It's in that mood. You know, it's like you walk into a church, even if you're not part of this faith, if you're in America or whatever, you're like, you know, there's a certain reverence just based on the amount of people in there believing a certain thing and the whole architecture and the way that's all been, you know, typographied into architecture and everything. I don't know. Maybe we should just move on from, I don't know.
If you want. I mean, like, I do think it's an interesting, important book. And I hope folks do get the chance to take a look at it. I don't know if we're really convincing them, but I guess we'll leave it up to folks to explore it, and hopefully there's some stuff online that folks can get an idea from. I don't know. What do you want to talk about then?
There's a way in which our bodies are this exist online through images, sort of, that we release. Like, it's an extended body of us. Like, it's like, I feel my image of me, that's part of my body. And photography has this, scientific role in that.
Mm-hmm.
And science is kind of the dominant, source of funding, a sort of presentation. Even like Kickstarter is the sort of startup phase, very science. It's like a startup to big startups, right?
Well, it's a key thing that keeps a lot of publishers going nowadays. It's an odd thing where...
Yeah, it's a weird thing. It's like, it just creates an event, That's like the necessary part. Like, 30 days you have, it's kind of a push them, come to shove kind of moment, Like, it requires that ending.
Yeah.
A dramatic ending, usually.
Well, it's like... one of the interesting things is I see a lot of work which if a publisher just put it out, it could just fall to the wayside, but the whole action of using a Kickstarter to promote something and give a readership kind of ownership over seeing it come to life gives it a different identity and a different kind of publishing context.
I'm holding a copy of it.
Of Mirror Mirror?
Yeah, you have one, right?
Yeah.
It feels good, right?
Yeah. It feels like, in a way, it reminds me a lot of, in Vancouver used to have the store Book Off. Which I know they have it in New York now and other places. We don't have it in Vancouver anymore. But it would be all sorts of... it's all Japanese books.
Mm.
Japanese language books.
Yeah.
And it really reminds me of some of the Japanese manga art books. Not within the visual sense of it, but as far as like...
Well, it's B5, which is a Japanese format.
Oh, okay.
Like, nobody does that here.
Nope.
It's all, A, maybe C.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of like, in inches, it's like 6.93 by 8 by 8.9 or something. It makes it, you want to round up just to sell the book as like a higher size, but...
And I think one of the other things that it makes you think of within that context is it may not be a language that I completely understand or understand at all, but I still visually get a lot out of it. Does that make sense?
Can you say that again?
I was saying in the context of like some of these Japanese art books I'll look at, I may not completely understand the language that's written in, but I still really enjoy it and kind of get my own experience from it.
So what's your experience of it?
I, in parts, was enthralled in parts.
I just think it's beautiful. It's like a beautiful thing.
One of my favorite parts was the So the Pink Pages, I forget whose art that
yeah,
was.
That's Hennessy's, I think.
Yeah, and that's really interesting. Just the weird, like, the move, it's like a person movement, but also chopped up with this, like, really bright, garish color.
Yeah.
And it's a good juxtaposition between the two.
Yeah. It's just this perfect thing. It's like, I don't know. It's like I'm aware of this way now of publishing and, like, editing that you know, you can just take people that are doing, you know, thousands of notes and, you know, they'll be able to get the word out and, like, promote the thing you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, we have the worst authors for that. Like, Andy Burkholder hasn't promoted anything. Austin just, you know, posted a thing on Instagram yesterday, you know. Like, come on, guys. Like, and, like, even me, like, I've just reblogged stuff. I haven't, like, made a post saying, like, hey, I'm doing this thing or anything. I don't know.
Well, that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah, right.
That's publicity.
Yeah. I mean, I'm creating a lot of white space, I guess, right?
Well, we've had some white space in the interview. Those quiet moments.
Yeah. Are you sitting down?
Yeah, oh yeah. I'm at my computer. Relaxed. I've had a chill day.
Are you in a computer chair?
Yeah.
Is the desk like a computer desk?
No, it's a desk that's built into the wall. It's like probably an old student's desk.
Mm, wow.
It's an old house.
Wow. Old money.
No. Rentals.
So that's even better.
Yeah, someone else's money. Now I'm really curious about Connor Williamson's work in this.
Yeah.
Did you have any discussion with him in the development of this piece? Or was it just...
No, I think he knew the title, and that was it.
So did all the artists create work just with the title in mind?
Yeah. Leslie Weibler's drawing section, I, like, added some stuff from before. Well, okay. Leslie Weibler, just everything she did was totally... She does not do any context other than... Like, on the one hand, no context, or, like, a Tumblr context, like, a very informal context, like, just, you know, basically not a context, but just always practicing, or, like, a book context. And it's, like, if it's not a book, or it's not just her, then it's, like...
So is this pretty indicative of other work we'd find by her?
She's got two works in the book, and she's the only one with two. And one's poetry, and it's poetry booklets. Possibly, I, like, Photoshop them.
Mm-hmm.
And the other just pen and ink drawings. Oh, and the first one has another Pantone on it, which is a little subtle thing.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, it's like a dark blue for a couple of the small marks.
Oh, interesting.
With the page numbers.
That was something she did? Or is that something
That was just like in the... Like, she just sent me a packet of these pages.
Mm-hmm.
And I just made them so that, you know, because... It was just like a shortcut, but... I mean, you know, she made them as a booklet, so there'd be a recto verso kind of layout across different sheets of paper to get these, you know. So I just tried to, like, replicate that as if it was on one sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's not a big, egregious, like, step. It's more just a translation skill in this, like, text-based work kind of kind of. And yeah, and then she also had these like drawings, like writing drawings, like in blue ink. Mm-hmm. And just like she just does L and W on this page. And like the W turns into like these check marks.
Mm-hmm.
Just her and Nicholas, they're both this lyrical sort of I mean, she's switched to poetry, basically, incredibly. Like, I don't know anyone else personally who's completely switched the medium she was really invested in. But, like, Leslie, she was doing cartooning or whatever, comics.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, just a year ago, I think, she just completely switched. And now she's moved to a different part of town. She's with poet friends. And she just makes poetry. Yeah, but so it's a lyrical poet.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's conceptual poetry. And I was thinking about this. I mean, I think, when I talk, I just want to talk about, I don't know, I guess in like an autistic way about like my own interests, sort of, like. So sometimes I'll just stay on that track, and if that's not activated, I, like, I don't know. But I don't know. I feel like, yeah, this lyrical libidinal, I feel like those words kind of, there's something in Mirror Mirror and, like, in representational drawing, and especially figurative. I mean, that's just such a, that Terry's, like, it's just, like, completely engulfed by, I mean, such a marginalized existence, not being in a corporate kind of realm while still being figurative and representational. It's like you're really just pushed to the edge of the wall if you don't want to engage that sort of, like, you know, those mechanisms as much. Like,
mm-hmm. If you're trying to not be so, as you said, figurative, literal, yeah.
Just like, yeah, I don't know, like that sequence you described, those, with that neon Pantone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a scene that would last, 6 seconds maybe. You know, it's just, I don't know.
It creates a weird beat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a strange beat.
Like an off-tempo musicality.
Yeah. There's also, yeah, I mean, there's an essay in here that talks about mirror. It kind of, it's the only big text in the book, and it's like, kind of, it's going off on the title.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking mirror and writing about it as if it was a tampon, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about, you know, these identities, names. I don't know. It's and there's beautiful images in that section too. I mean,
mm-hmm. The advertisement stills.
Naomi Watts, maybe? Yeah.
Oh, I have no idea.
Some star.
Yeah, I can't tell you. I fail at those kind of things sometimes. Be able to figure out who people are. Oh, I see this one. Yeah, that looks like Naomi Watts.
She kind of identifies with autism.
How?
Like by identifying...
Like, when you say autism, what do you mean?
Well, you know, a very complex landscape that's, you know, it has this huge political divide down the middle. And, you know, the entire reaction to it is based on that sort of struggle. So just like a very extreme sort of situation. So just for her, you know. I don't know. I mean, it's not, I mean, she hasn't been diagnosed, but it's sort of this question you'd think, you know, it's which side the medical industry is going on this. Like, do you want to endorse that as like a verification method? Like, you know, in Pittsburgh, it's just the medical industry. Everyone's like, knows someone who's a nurse or a doctor. It's like the new factory.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, there's people that, you know, it's this complex identity that they have been forced, but it's kind of, you know, beautiful to see or whatever, you know, to self-manage sort of, to create online after social, you know, after that, I guess probably in the blog era, and then, you know, now kind of, maybe still blogs actually, but I mean, it's an entirely self-managed kind of like without major funding. You know, the two groups are like people with autism and like the parents and like autism speaks and stuff. That's like the parental, like, I don't know. It's just, I mean, when you get, that gets you into the dynamics of like the child parent relationship and like children. I don't know. When you go into like identity, it's like this black hole. Like you just don't come out. Like there's no breathing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are just so individual.
People are individual. People have struggles. No one's the same.
Right, but in this like, truly total mental way too. Like, I don't know.
I mean, there's a lot of value. I don't know if I catch the gist of your argument. Like, there's a lot of value in appropriate diagnosis as far as like being able to really support people and what their needs are and how to help with development, and it can be quite a boon in that way.
I have an audio recording, maybe we could attach that or something. I don't think it hasn't been, it's just been sitting on my computer.
What's it of?
I read at TCAF, I read an apology letter to Alvin Buenaventura. And, I don't know, whatever that bar is next to,
Oh, the pilot?
I can't remember. It's next to the comic book store.
Okay, yeah, I know the one.
Yeah. And, yeah, I don't know, I started tearing up at one point for some reason. It was just like, I read this apology letter that had been sitting on my computer. Like, or, you know, it'd been sitting in drafts, basically. It was during the whole Kramer thing.
Mm-hmm. You mean like, the fallout from Kramer's? Or, oh,
no,
when you did
like
the,
when, like,
you did
I
the
guess,
mini?
It's like when he was, yeah, it was the mini, right, it was that, yeah, I guess that was the basic, thing.
So you have a lot of regrets about doing that at the time, doing the mini Kramer's photocopy?
No, I haven't really thought of it.
You just felt bad for upsetting?
No, I mean, I don't know. That was a weird That's a weird reading, because I really insulted the like the host that was there, like the host of the person sitting next to me, I guess, at the table.
Do you find that you kind of get caught up in your own head too often?
Well, I don't know. I see, I wouldn't describe it negatively, exactly. I don't know. It's interesting. I like the word disability because it's the sort of, it points out this negative thing that's not attached to this culture of, like, you should try to change that. Or, like, that's, like, you know, that should be your priority, you know, as far as mental health goes. Does that make sense?
So are you saying that you deal with, or you, I'm trying to say this respectfully, like, mental health is something that's a part of your life and something that, I don't want to say struggle with, but it's a part of who you are.
Yeah, yeah. Disability, is that what? Or?
I mean, that's up to you to define that. That's not up to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's yeah, just... but that, see, I mean, there's this, you know, blatant interpretation of that that's from this self-help, you know, kind of perspective that's like, comes with a lot of stuff, you know, and I'm not, I don't know, I'm, you know, that's interesting too, but.
Like, are you saying that you have had diagnoses in the past, or,
No.
This is something that you feel like is a part of you, but not necessarily explicitly stated?
Well, I mean, it's sort of explicit. It seems. It would seem.
But just saying disability and mental health is a wide spectrum. I mean, you can say everyone deals with mental illness in some context or another within themselves. Depression is a mental illness. Anxiety can be a mental illness. It's how we are able to filter it through our daily lives and what kind of tools we have to cope through that and how that affects us.
Yeah, that's a good definition.
Does how within your personal work, because I feel like we're veering off here and there.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Like, one of the things, so, like, I read your most recent stuff, obviously leading up to this and exploring various Tumblrs and whatnot, and we're talking about you and kind of in your head, and for lack of a better term. And one of the things I was thinking about is within the context of three books, really comes down to me, one of the things I think about is it's as male gaze as you could get in a way. And I'm wondering about how the role it plays as your own personal viewpoint. These are Blaise's eyes that we're seeing things through.
Yeah, well, that's so weird. I mean, who are those eyes? You know, it's such a weird, when you break down the audience like that, you know, you break apart that solidarity that comes from reading a book where everyone's like on the same page. You know, this one is very much like if you're a heterosexual male being put in this position, you know, what that reading's going to be like versus every, you know, identity combination. I don't know, it's just all very specific. You know, and it kind of, you know, breaks you down into bodies. I don't know, it's also weird just, I mean, this coming from this don't know, there's a negative way of looking at it, and there's a positive way of looking at it, and it's very, I don't know, it's hard to say. I mean, one's kind of more realistic, one's more hopeful, you know? I think that's related to getting older, maybe. You know, I don't know. I'm just thinking of the broadest horizon here possible, and just thinking, okay, what am I doing in this context? Like, you know, I've thought a lot about why did I start this project? You know, why did I shift from, I guess, basically children, you know, where, you know, for the most part, that whole issue is kind of out of sight, you know, like difference, like, you know, not in a positive or negative way, just like difference wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was in this kind of perfect world of people like themselves or something, like this total image, you know, borrowing from anime and...
You mean this stuff you're doing with Young Lions?
Well, yeah, that in 2001.
Mm-hmm. And your USA art.
Yeah, which is just 2001, like, sort of... in the extended field.
Mm-hmm. In a concrete context.
Yeah. In an image of, like, a documentary image of a... I mean, getting a camera has been a huge thing for me, like, for my whole practice. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yes and no. I mean, it's just... I don't know. I don't even...
Look, one of the things I was thinking about with this book is... you talked about reading as a heterosexual male, which
are you?
I am. You know, it's
okay.
You know, I'm.
I heard, but
the rumors are out there. But it's not erotic work to me. I don't find it erotic at all. It's voyeuristic, but I don't find it erotic. I find it like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't find it, you know, erotic you reading it either. You know what I mean? There's not that connection there,
mm-hmm.
the author and a reader, where it's like one guy beating off his dick or something and, like, looking to his friend and being like, hey, you into this too?
Yeah, nudge, nudge, hey, bruh, this is great.
Like, it's like, you know, all right, I'm just gonna... You know what I mean? That's not exactly... I wasn't thinking about that audience, you know, when I wrote that. I just thought about...
But also, like, even within the context of your introduction to it, where you talk about the different contexts of the work and the woman featured in the work and your relationship with her, it's very puts you on a pedestal. Where you talk about
completely,
and that kind of goes with like creating this kind of Adonis identity.
I hadn't even thought of that actually. That's insane. Well, it's pretty obvious, though. I mean, some of those, like, where I'm holding this girl, like, and I'm sitting down, and it's, like, this sort of, like, you know, just dramatic, like, perspective, like, Renaissance, like, I'm in a chapel almost. It's like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's very, like, yeah, I'm sitting on a throne, sort of, like, yeah, it's like a fantasy, I guess. It's like, I don't know. There's like there's the idea of like the young male fantasy, but there's no equivalent for girls because it's assumed that everything a girl is fantasy.
Well, I think girls have their own fantasies.
Yeah, I'm talking about a cultural construction of a girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that, you know, this force, you know, this sort of, you know, a gender expectation for you.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things you pointed to me before we did the interview is a lot of online scorn and criticism, and you wanted to talk about that, folks calling you a pedophile.
Yeah, it's just one guy.
It's just one person?
Yeah.
Do you know the person, or is it just...
I know a little about him. I mean... You know, it's a specific person. And... He's 30 years old. And I'll just state that. I mean, the thing is, like, I'm being put in this position where, like, you know, this guy's image, he's nothing, you know what I mean? It's like, he has nothing to, protect. Mm-hmm. For me, it's like, even if no one actually sees this, or, like, the basic response I'm getting is, like, people think it's me.
Yeah.
They think I'm, like, it's, like, the new project or something.
Well, you kind of, that doesn't surprise me that people think that. That's kind of the...
Yeah, it's just like, it's just, I don't know, it's just like, for me, that's still... I mean, if this was being done to someone else, maybe, and I saw this from an extreme remove, I might kind of appreciate it, you know, as the sort of, just like, totally crass, like, breaking down, like, pedophile, Helvetic hookups, like, mm-hmm. rapist. And, like, these two words, like, being the total brand, you know, of, like, a specific person. I don't know, there's always sort of a glee in seeing that, and someone got, like, just, like... But the thing is, this guy can't really pull that off, because, you know, that the way we've built up, and it's really beautiful to see. It really is, but just this cultural thing where we can have this sort of embodied response, you know, like, that comes from victims, like, victims' voices, this, like, even if it's anonymous, it's this, like, there's, it's this, you know, it's through the text, there's this rhythm, it's like a person expressing themselves, and it's like a person, you know, it's a victim.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in this case, you know, like, all it is, it doesn't break down into, like, I don't know, it's just unreadable. So, you know, I don't know. So that's kind of cool, because it just creates this image, you know, kind of. But it's still, those words are so textually, like, heavy, like, it's still, like, the heaviest.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're so knocked out by this blow, you know, you don't even see, like, the sort of, just that it's a pure image, like.
Was this something you were expecting when you had the book coming out?
No. This was not on my radar.
One of the things I was thinking about is there are very few cartoonists that get people up in arms as much as you do.
Well, not literally.
I was doing my little research and stuff, and then I came across an old interview that Sean Collins did on the Journal. I didn't really read much of the interviews, I try not to do that, but I was just really surprised by the venom from particular folks commenting on it. I mean, this is a couple of years ago, but it always surprises me that people get so invested in wanting to knock someone down.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know, it's interesting. I mean, I don't know.
How does this work within your own creation? I mean, you have, this has been going on for a while, even back before the first time I interviewed you, folks, really everyone had an opinion about you. And I'm wondering how that goes in the work you create, coming out with a book that is just your pure you, in a way, like, three books is this kind of sexual objectification of your identity, in a way. I wonder if there's, like, a, you know, I don't know even what I'm saying right now. I'm seeing some linkage. Is there a linkage? Am I making sense?
I I don't know, that you know, that book was, I mean, part of it was an embodied sort of book. It's like there's no getting around it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're between this, like, you know, heterosexual dude and, you know, that person's behind you, kind of, or like holding the pages for you, and then, like, you're reading, you know, you're hearing his voice come through you, like, such a weird, you know, I'm like whispering and like, you know, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. It's like, it's not pretty. It's not cute. You know? it's like, I don't know. And it's like, what do you do with that after? You know, it's something that you'd kind of, you know, it's so easy in life to just discard, you know, certain narratives. But this is like part of your work now. This is like a huge, you know, and this project kept getting extended and extended. It was like, it was supposed to, you know, I had this thing after 1 year, and like, it was this other publisher, and they were like, they'd given me like carte blanche, but they were like revoking it once they saw what I wanted to do. And then 2D Cloud picked it up, and we were going to do a different book, and it became that book. And that also got pushed back like another year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like I had all this time. There was also this, I mean, the longest period was like a year of just clinical, like, cleaning up. Like, the first, it was like 1-2 years of, you know, an on and off, but sort of more libidinal, you know, whatever, I don't know, cultural, Dionysian kind of thing. And then, like, this total clinical, like, designer mode. Like, amateur designer. Like, I'm in school. But
yeah.
Still, like, doing, you know, the best I can. Like, you know, just trying to create this, like, context through, like, sort of kind of trompe l'oeil, just, like, visual mechanisms, like text and Palatino, like, 10-point font.
Does this capture a point in time for you then? Like, is this and it, like, a point of your life, just like a snapshot and maybe not reflective of the rest of your life?
No, I mean, it's drawn out. It's like 3 years.
Okay.
But, you know, it's one project. It's kind of had its context set out from the beginning. Like,
did she know what you wanted to do, the project you wanted to do, as you guys got into this relationship?
Who?
The subject. The woman in the book. Or is it more than one woman?
Yeah, it's like three women.
Okay. Three books, three women?
Yeah, I could have, but no, not really. It's more like 1, 2, 3 in the first one. Anyway, the second one's 1 and 3. Yeah. And then the third one's just 3.
Okay.
I guess. No, but then, I mean, those paintings are like at the time of 1. And yeah, it's weird. And they're my grandma dying, like, in them. But I don't know if people have looked at the drawing so much as probably just read the text. I think the text is so just, like, you know, I mean, it forms this, like, weird, like, you know, kind of amateur rhyming pattern. Like,
mm-hmm.
like I'm doing, like, an R and B kind of, like, seducing this girl or something.
Within the first book, you scan in pages from, I think it was like a coil-bound sketchbook.
Yeah.
And I was really interested in the reason to scan the backs of the pages, the marker bleeds.
I mean, it was a design thing, but with the final book, I don't know if it really turned out that well. I mean, it printed exactly as it should have, but somehow, holding the book in my hands, it just doesn't have, the exact thing I thought it would. I think it's because of the borders on the top. I should have just gone full bleed, the entire image. Like, that's what I've... I mean, that's... I don't know. I think that's... Now, that's, like, what I'm doing. I'm just making these, like, aesthetic kind of decisions. Like, aesthetic, like, ways to solve a problem. Like, turn it into visual information and work from there.
Mm-hmm.
Like... When I was doing three books, the entire thing, it was like this sort of, you know, I had my year in 2010, you know? I mean, that's what, like, Frank would say. I don't know. It's like 2010.
Carl?
Yeah, Pittsburgh guy. I don't know. It's like, that was this time of Blogspot, and, like, blogs, bloggers were a thing. And, like, the internet was, like, only, like... People with, you know, a certain amount of privilege, you know, the character of anonymous, like, quote-unquote, or, like, capital A. You know, before it was in the news, it was, like, you understood it was, like, this white guy, like, teenager, early 20s guy that's, like, you know, kind of libertarian. It's a specific guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, suddenly just the internet, like, when these, like, huge social media channels opened up, and everything became social, and media, you know, reattached its roots, or, like, whatever, to, like, the big companies. It just, like, that individual voice got lost, but then this, like, these social voices got found. You know, just all these other people that weren't that white guy, that anonymous guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, suddenly they can speak in these collective voices, and then we have social justice as, like, the dominant thing. Like, I mean, it was like a meme, like feminism. Not feminism, but, you know, macros, I guess. There were memes of this stuff going up.
Infectious ideas.
Yeah. And, well, no, just, you know, the specific kind of dialogue that, you know, you'd see 10,000 notes behind one person's statement, you know, and a whole trail of reblogs, you know, saying this, you know, this is what I believe. This is, like,
yeah.
Read this. I totally agree with this. Like, you know, as a way of having a voice, say, like, front page news, you know, 100,000 people believe that, you know, think this. Like, think you should read this and that this... I don't know. It became this unavoidable thing. And... I don't know. I came from a sort of discourse background. Like, the art was about discourse. And, you know, people having something to say... You know, that's part of the discourse. I don't know if there's a sensational aspect to that. I kind of don't even want to think in that term, but it gets brought up inevitably, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But just, at least discourse, this idea came from bloggers. It came from this earlier idea of a public that suddenly seemed like there was a potential online. That online could be this potential for this sort of...
Hey, Blaze? Blaze? You're totally cutting out.
You know, kind of Greek form, sort of something, like intelligence, like, thing. And now it seems like that possibility is lost. And I guess I was taking the first step of trying to adapt that by making this body book. Like, saying this is me. No longer, like, I used to have my identity like the chair. I tried to maintain that because I wanted, you know, to be a total image, you know.
So tell me about the importance of having a print edition of alt comics, and kind of what do you want to get out of this print object versus just, you know, throwing interviews up on the web for people to reblog and fave?
Well, you know, there's this, like, there's this print positive kind of culture that, you know, I don't really want to engage that. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, it's just, like, it looks nice. It's, like, having that Risograph cover, it's, like, I don't know, it'd be great if there was an algorithm in Photoshop, and I'd be totally down with just using that as the more economical model. But just the way those dots line up and get like rubbed off on the paper that way, it's like really pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of just an excuse to have the covers, really. Because, I mean, that's the whole object, you know.
Now the focus of this book, well, the first one was a lot more contemporary folks, like talking to Aidan Koch and Sab and Lala, Albert and Leah, Wishnia?
Yeah, the latter.
And New. But this one is more classic. I won't say classic. Classic's a bad term, but kind of. Tell me about the folks you have in the new one.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. Someone dropped out, which is always a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly just because I like type the whole transcription, and then they decide they don't want to be on it. But. Yeah, Austin, Frank, Christina Tiskova, I think is how you say it. Dylan Williams, Scott Longo, Sarah Carrick. Yeah, Sarah, I don't know, she's like the biggest thing. Like, I don't know. I mean, she's gonna, you know, she'll be like a diva sort of thing, you know?
Just in her, she will be, or she is?
I don't know, I mean, she is, but, you know, I don't know, she can just, I don't know, I guess, you know, diva is that context that can really scale up to a big production, and like, you know, she's not at that point yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it just feels good to see that stuff come out. I don't know. I have like a very small network of peers.
And you're in Pittsburgh now?
Yeah.
As well? Do you spend much time with any of the Pittsburgh scene? Like Nikki?
No one. I don't know, I saw Frankie for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Then he just asked me to do this thing for him and was, like, really adamant about it. He was like, you have to do this thing for me. I was like, I don't think so. I just haven't really talked to him since. But he was like, I mean, in his defense, like, he was immediately, like, cool.
Yeah.
He, like, accepted that decision. I guess it just unnerved me a bit because now I don't know where it's, like... You know, it's like I accepted, I don't know. Just like all these, yeah, I don't know. He's just an outsized, you know, personality, I think. And, you know, I don't know. He's cool.
Mm-hmm. I want to know where you see your work going now. Because as you said, it's been a while. Since the three books was actually done.
I don't know. I told my mom, like, 2D Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
They have my title now as creative director. Which sort of makes more sense.
Didn't they have you as marketing there once or something?
Yeah, that was the initial thing.
Which made no sense.
The ad hoc position. Like,
yeah.
I don't think either of those roles ever, like, designed websites to do, like, all the, you know. Yeah, it's good, though. I don't know, it's neat. It's you know, it comes with this ethical role that's, like, kind of hard. I mean, just, like, with, like, that first Alt Comics magazine, like, I had falling outs with two of my friends. Like, it was this sort of, like, you know, just based on just these politics involved. Like, everyone's, like, creating their work as, like, this self-presentation. Mm-hmm. And you can fuck it up now because you're in this role, you know, where you present their work. And, like, you obviously have this certain way that's easier for you to present it as. You know, it might not be as much as their sort of whole project. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the ideal kind of guy, is the sort of total, usually kind of talentless, but, you know, like, I don't know, hands all over your oldest or something, like, stepping in just saying, like, hey, you're a beautiful child, and, you know, tell me your thoughts about stuff. Just like a very embracing sort of, like, give, you know, you define your own platform, and we'll record it, and that'll be our feature with you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for me, it's like, it's just brutal, because I'm just, I have that kind of one train kind of autistic mind.
What do you want to get for yourself out of these interactions, then? If you have, like, some specific in mind.
I mean, it's just like, I don't know, you're in the social sphere, you know? It's like, you know all these people. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's just so complex. Like, and you work now, and, you know, and it's like, there's still this, like, big online, like we were talking about, like, before we started recording this whole thing, like, just that work component of the computer, and, like, social media and Tumblr, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just like how the weekends got dead because there's such a work component to it, like to being on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these people's like professional careers at the same time as it's their images. Like their career is like this image they present, you know, this overall like patchwork, like series of images, I guess. You know, I always think of Google search, like search results. Those are the, you know, the most, you know, based on a consensus reality kind of thing, like the biggest pool of images, like what defines you? That's your biggest monument, your wall, I guess. You know, whatever shows up on there.
Yeah. I get it.
You know, so I don't know. I have, like, I put something on the back cover and I was like, that was the biggest mistake sort of thing. Like, you know, it was like, it wasn't agreed upon that it would be on the back cover. I don't know, it's supposed to be more anonymous. You know, there's all these, like, I don't know, and I'm, I don't know. I try to be, I mean, I'm more hands-off with it, but I'm also more, I don't know. Often I'm more privileged of, like, the people in conflict. So, I don't know.
You come from a place of privilege?
Yeah, I'd say that. But, you know, that's also, I'm using that in a loose, pretty loose way.
Mm-hmm. How do you mean it, though?
Well, just, I think if you think of my whole career, like, it's just nothing but, like, that's all it can come down to. It's just, like, I had all this time to, I mean, that was the thing, I was time rich. I was never money rich, but it was always just this time. I had time to, you know, to walk everywhere all the time, just to walk for no reason,
mm-hmm.
to do whatever I wanted, you know. And it was amazing. And it was, you know, now I'm sort of part-time working class, which is really, you know, I mean, everyone is part-time. That's part of the class now. It's a weird class to even think about. It comes with, I mean, the people who are working class never think of those terms. I mean,
I think we're pretty aware.
Yeah, I don't know. If you're, like, older, you have a unionized job, maybe. But I don't think, like, young people think, like, working class. I don't think that's, like, a real class thing.
Yeah, I don't agree. I think when you know what it takes to live and what you have to work, you get very aware very quickly. Even, like, I have a relative who's like 19 now and starting out in the workforce and very aware of the position that she's in and how that's reflective of age and experience and how that works in exploitation as far as what options you have.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, because I still have this ironic position within it, like, working class, like, You know, but it's like, you know, deteriorating. It's like causing health problems, you know. It's like, but and yet it's so like seamlessly, comfortably easy. It's scary. It's like I don't even become aware of it. You know, just for long stretches, I'm just in this kind of trance and just not thinking. And
so
it's not a huge weird thing.
Have you been in points in your life then where you haven't had to work and stress about money?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's weird because I always felt myself at the bottom, like at this. It was like I was that kind of middle class person that like feeling very close, or you know, feeling this wall. I don't know. No, I guess feeling this regular uptake. You know, I've gotten it down to where I'm just like, I'm on food stamps and I'm living in these, you know, communal queer housing things. And it's just like, you know, you just kind of live this lifestyle. You put a lot of energy into it, but you do it so that you, you know, you don't have to work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have, like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I sort of have, like, I don't know. I had, like, sort of a small inheritance. I don't know. It was great. But anyway, it's created
sure.
This whole, like, you know, I feel in myself this true, you know, it's a schizophrenic kind of breakdown where it's, like, I'm really this, like, you know, person of, like, aristocracy, but somehow my surroundings are, like, you know, this working class, you know, documentary style. It's like it creates this deep ironic like, you know, I'm this person and yet I'm not.
Yeah.
And yet I am. But it's like you're focused on like a person in the future that you're like aspiring towards. You know what I mean? That's what keeps you going down these like long-term paths.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I've always, you know, so my thing is, like, I'm doubling down every time. That's, like, my strategy. It's, like, you know, and that's the way, you know, it's, like, lottery tickets or something. I'm just doing, you know, I don't know. I mean, yeah, for the most part, it's, like, this kind of path to ruin or something, like Walzer or something. It's, like, you're just going to become destitute or something. But it's, like, you just will not sell for anything that's, you know, you're not going to accept, like, a bootleg Prada or something.
So do you take lots of time away from work, from like, making art?
I'm working, like, nonstop all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, never not working. I've never thought of the word workaholic.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's a serious word, but I mean, I think it's the name of a comedy show or something.
Yeah, it's a stoner show.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, I'm just always working, and I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know. It's a strange, yeah.
One of the things I was thinking about, because, you know, doing my research, and it's like seeing all these photos of you, and you never look relaxed. They're always like photos at conventions, and you're kind of like, you're there, but there's like a look in your eyes where you're just not relaxed, or photos at panels, and you're kind of like, I don't feel like you're relaxed. And so I'm wondering, what do you do to relax? What at the end of the day, like, you know, do you smoke a bowl? Do you like...
Yeah, marijuana's very, I don't know, that's a big drug in my life.
Yeah.
And it goes in these weird rhythms where it'll be, you know, it'll be like, you know, regular 9-month stretches without, and just these periods. I mean, I don't know, like one time I moved into this house, and the previous people were drug dealers. And they left, like, all their stuff in the garage, like, all their shit behind. And they were like, we're going to pick this up, like, in a month.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, 2 months rolls around, and, like, we're like, fuck it. And smash the lock. There's all this, like, pot in there. And that just becomes, like, a summer of just, like, someone else's pot every day. That was a wild summer.
Pot's a funny one because it also, you know, you can use it to relax, but you can also use it as part of a creative process too, right?
Yeah, well, it kind of turns everything. I mean, you can become the sort of, I always think of myself as becoming a bigger consumer on it. Like, it becomes like, you're in the state of reverie of everything. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, it gives you that sense of hope that you need for imagination, for optimism. I don't know.
That brings it out.
Yeah, I don't know. There's weird. There's different drug cultures. It's like, I'm a big coffee guy. And, you know, I think most of my work is coffee-based. But, like, you know, people go to bars. I don't go to bars, really. You know, I bought a 12-pack 2 weeks ago, and all the cans are still sitting in it. Like,
mm-hmm.
Alcohol, for some reason, it does nothing. I mean, it does. I get drunk, but it's like, it's not a work drug.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily something that you relish in, that you...
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's a nice social kind of thing, but it's not a daily thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know, the idea of work's weird. I mean, so you said, like you have a weekend. I think that's interesting.
It's important.
Yeah. I mean, it's a certain... Do you recognize other people that have the weekend off? Is that a record to you somehow? I mean, it's kind of hard to tell, right? Everyone's kind of anonymous, like...
Yeah.
Work clothes aren't this huge.
I mean, it's interesting to find out what artists do. Like, I know some folks who will not work on the weekend and really take that for personal time and recovery. And... you know, and I know other folks like my good friend Brandon, who will work nonstop and only stop working when we physically drag him, you know, out of the city. Different people have the different way to keep them going.
Is that Brandon Graham?
Yeah. He's always drawn.
Huh. It's interesting. I mean, he had that, I mean... All those image posts. Does he make those blog posts still? Or it's just...
No, I think he just throws stuff up on Tumblr now.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish he'd do the blog posts.
It's just such a different format. Just, it was such a different time. And it's like... It's almost, you know, it's tempting for me to be nostalgic about it. Because it's like sort of this... you know, it's like a highlight kind of real thing. But...
Well, a lot of people got a lot out of those blog posts. You know, it's I don't think you realize it's just how many folks looked at it, but a lot of people cite it as, you know.
Yeah.
Opening their eyes to a lot of things.
Sorry, yeah. I feel like this sort of sense of, like Kevin Huizenga said this thing about just not wanting to put forward the energy. It would, like, even the most rudimentary out of it, like, trying to... I guess just thinking about money, he'll just do everything in his power not to, or just like relax all those muscles that will like let him not think about it, and just like, I don't know, it's a cool approach.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, it's that shooting, it's that lottery ticket kind of thing. It's like, you know, it's, you don't feel that, you know, that sort of stable in it. That makes sense.
That which?
You know, you can't feel stable in this sort of environment where, you know, you're just always kind of making these decisions based on free time now. Like, I'm not going to think ahead about, you know, it's just like right now. It's like in the moment, just doing something. Like, You know, it's like that Stitch in Time Saves Nine thing. It's like, if you just put some, like, more effort into, like, getting a more, you know, decent job above, you know, minimum wage type thing, and, you know, you could do these little ladder things or whatever, but you're just going to just, like, completely, you know, it's all about the present. It's, like, right now. It's, like, this could be a moment. Like, I'm not going to waste this moment doing, future, like, thinking about stuff. I mean, like, I think really, for me, the biggest therapy thing has just been, like, academic texts. Like, this is who people are in this moment.
Like, reading academic texts?
Yeah.
On art or
other
things?
Yeah, mostly on art. But, you know, there are also these in-between spaces, sort of, I guess, you know, fringe, interdisciplinary. And, you know, I mean, there's just, it's like this form, you know, long form. It's like such a, you can especially appreciate now, in, like we were talking about on the internet. I don't know if that was part of that 5 minutes that got cut out. But that sort of, you know, what could have been, I guess, just the sort of golden age of, like, academic discourse online. Like, it's totally democratic. Everyone, it's all peer reviewed. It's just like, it could immediately happen, but, you know, there's this, like, J thing and, like, these different companies that, you know, have this interest in it.
You mean, like, JSTOR?
Yeah.
Yeah, and what was the one guy who faced jail time? He ended up killing himself. Who released a bunch of academic documents? At MIT. I can't remember the guy's name.
Real I listened to this story. Like, it was like this, how to, it was like learning, I don't know, JSON or something on YouTube, like a series of videos.
Mm-hmm.
It's like learning coding. It was like intro to coding. And it was this guy, overview, you know, voiceover, and he does everything, and it's kind of good. And then you find out later, like, if you research him at all, like, he was keeping this child slave.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Him and his, like, boyfriend, and they were, like, I don't know. They were, like, arrested by the police, and it was, like, insane. You're, like, I've been listening to this guy in my head, like, for, like, 30 hours now. But, well, and then that's the end. He never gets to finish up the series. It's, like, you're kind of left hanging.
What can you do? It's like British people that watch Jimmy Savile for years and years and years and find out he's a horrible monster.
Oh, wait, who's that?
He's this, like, children's entertainer who it revealed he was also a child molester and would, like, go into hospitals and, like, desecrate dead bodies and all sorts of stuff, just like...
I mean, that's fine, in my opinion. It's like, I'm not necrophobic.
I don't know.
I think it's like that whole culture that's just... I don't know, it's just insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... I don't know, it's just... I don't know.
I feel like we've veered into unknown territory here.
Yeah,
and
we
I think
pull out.
Yeah, I think I'm actually gonna wrap us up.
Cool.
To remind folks, I've been talking to Blaise Larmé, and his new book is the Mirror Mirror, the first collection from 2D Cloud, as well as Alt Comics.
Go to 2dcloud.com.
Yeah, and we should mention your most recent personal book, three books. You can find the whole thing online at 2D Cloud. You've posted the whole book, photographed pages.
Gigantic images.
Yeah, so if you want to make your own version of the book, the photos are there.
If they get written consent from the publishers.
Okay. Or the artist.
Yeah, okay, that would do. Good talking to you, Robin.
Yeah, it's good talking to you. And yeah, I hope to see you again soon.
Yep.